Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events here and around the world. Here are just some of the questions we'll be discussing today. And it's Wednesday, March 6, 2013. Can the president assassinate U.S. citizens on U.S. soil? And is even an imaginary or exaggerated crisis really a terrible thing to waste? And we're going to be talking some more about the economy, of course. And if you have any questions you'd like to send us today, direct those two questions at dgscoins.com, questions at dgscoins.com. And if you want to make any calls to today's program, you can use a toll-free number, 800-596-8191. That is 1-800-596-8191. If you have any questions for myself or Alfred Adesk, in which he'll be joining me here in just a few minutes, I always hear him in the background. I know he's there. So, right? Right, Al?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I'm here. Well, finally, we're inching up a little bit with gold. We have gold up $7.70 today at $15.84. Silver, still below 30, but that's okay, folks. The more you can buy at a lower price, up 36 cents at $29.16. Platinum, up $2 at $15.92. And palladium, up 11 at $751. That's one thing we don't have here at Discount Gold and Silver. We don't have clients calling and grumbling about the lower prices in gold and silver. They're taking advantage of the lower prices and adding to what they already have, or just coming into the market at these lower prices. So we've got some pretty smart listeners and clients, because they know to buy, because they know the fundamentals are there and they are not changing. In fact, Al, reality. I mean, it's just amazing. We're having all these actions, but there are no reactions. And I think eventually these reactions are all going to come into play. But let's see what the U.S. dollar index did today. That was up 43 today at 82.49. So it was nice to see a little bit move in the metal prices with a stronger dollar today. Crude oil was down about 50 cents today at 90.39, back up over $90. And the markets today, Did we hit another new high? Yay! A new record high again, 42 points. The Dow is up 42 at 14,296. NASDAQ, though, down 1 at 32.22. S&P up 1 at 15.41. Boy, you don't hear them screeching about the NASDAQ, do you? You know, it's got a long way to go to get up to there to that 5,000 level, but they certainly don't talk to about the NASDAQ as they talk about gold, just because gold, we hit 1900 and we steadied out at 1700. We had a little bit of dip down to the levels we are now, and that's okay. Fundamentals haven't changed. The fundamentals for the NASDAQ has changed and continue to erode. And you have the euro today. That broke down a little bit, 1.29, not that far off of 1.30. And you have the 10-year yield up 0.04 at 194. So it's interesting. Investors, Al, pulled out $1 billion out of stock funds last week, and that was just before the Dow hit a record. So even though you have people pulling money out, you have people putting money in, and as I said, there's all these, there isn't anything that makes sense. There's no reality to any of the reports, to anything that's going on. It's like reality doesn't exist anymore.
Well, there's a reality that exists, but it's not the free market.
True.
It's someone else imposing their own notion of reality, and their own notion of reality is they got to make all the money they can, and if it means robbing average people, then they're going to be robbed. But it's not the free market where you, me, and the rest of the people kind of get together and we say, well, I think the price should be this, and you say the price should be that, and we come to some sort of a conclusion within the free market. The market's been manipulated, at least to some degree, and it makes sense to the people in position to manipulate. The question is, how long can they continue to manipulate the markets before the markets implode, explode, whatever? How long can their reality substitute for the free market? And I'm of the opinion it can't last a lot longer, but we shall see.
There's so many crazy things going on, Al, and you know, it just defies gravity, defies logic. It just defies anything that a human being mind can process, because it is so rigged. It is so.
Well, what defies reality, in a sense, is we have reality, something like the Constitution of the United States. We have the reality that we believe that we're entitled to honest services from government. That's the people's reality. Those are manifestations of the people's reality. And then the government says, the heck you are. We're in a position to manipulate this thing for our own political agenda or for the agenda of acquiring wealth for people that are well-connected to the people, institutions, well-connected to the government, maintaining the dollar. It makes sense. It all makes sense. But it doesn't make sense against the premise that the government is here to obey the Constitution, that the government is here to give us honest services. If those are two of your premises, then this world is going to appear to be irrational. On the other hand, if you sit back and say Washington, D.C. is essentially a cat house, and most of the people working up there are treasonous whores, then it starts to make a little more sense. You sit back, this makes a little more sense. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant to view the world from that perspective. And it's uncomfortable, and it's sort of thing that bother you. But if you're prepared to accept different set of premises, the world begins to make sense. Not a happy sense, but sense. So what else we got, Melody?
Well, I'll tell you what. We always have all this bad news. Well, I got some good news. Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Today, and there was several other GOP lawmakers who joined Rand Paul about a filibuster against the nomination of John Brennan to the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He said he's here to filibuster his nomination to be director of CIA, and he's going to speak for as long as it takes. He will speak today until the president says no, he will not kill you at a cafe. He spoke for more than 3 hours on the Senate floor before he was joined by Senator Mike Lee of Utah. Americans have every reason to be concerned anytime the government wants to intrude on life, liberty, or prosperity, Lee said. We're talking here about the sanctity of human life, and we have to take steps to protect that. You also had Senators Ted Cruz of Texas, Jerry Moran of Kansas. They also spoke about the need for more oversight of the administration's drone program. And Paul has said he wants more answers from the administration about American citizens, how they can be targeted by armed drones inside the U.S. before he'll lift his filibuster on Brennan's nomination. He goes on and says, no American should be killed by a drone on American soil without first being found guilty of a crime. That an American could be killed on American soil is an abomination. So, folks, you know, now take the call, support these guys, and give them a call.
And, no, I agree. It's it's the sort of thing you wonder, is Rand Paul, is he, you know, I've looked at this for so long that I become cynical. And it doesn't mean that that's wrong, but there's a point where you can become objective. Well, you're not exactly cynical, but you are objective. You sometimes see it for what it is. Is Rand Paul, did he just now announce his candidacy for the White House in, what, 2016? Yeah. Is that what just happened? Maybe. And I don't have an objection to that. Huh? But I would say Rand Paul says he's going to keep talking until Obama agrees that he can't kill people just on his command here in this country. Well, that's one of those bets that maybe you could win and maybe you can't. Obama can just sit there until Rand Paul, his voice is shut. You can only talk for so long before your voice shuts down. I mean, we have Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Most of us have seen that movie, and we understand that, you know, you can make these heroic, take these heroic positions, and but there's strain involved. Will Mr. Paul be able to keep talking until Mr. Obama admits that he can't legally assassinate people in this country? It remains to be seen. Paul should win. Paul should win that bet. Obama should come out quickly, and he should say, yeah, of course we can't kill people in this country. What are you, crazy? Where'd you ever get that crazy idea? Huh? That's what Mr. Obama should do. So we're going to see an interesting drama here. That has, you know, it's time-based. How long?
It's also going to be interesting to see how the media portrays it and how are they going to black out the media on this? Or are they going to talk about it?
No, I don't think they can.
Well,
I don't think they can.
And you're right, you can be cynical on this. Did he just do what you think he might have done about his announcement to run for office? But perhaps, cynical as we might be, you know, hey. You know, if the media does take a hold of it and it does get reported, you know, perhaps it will bring more attention to this particular
I think
problem.
It's a good thing. I'm not critical of Rand Paul. I'm just saying, you know, you look to see how many angles are being considered and played at the moment. And maybe this is his opening announcement for running for president in a couple of years. And if it is, it's a good thing.
Yes.
All right. It's a good thing. It's the sort of thing where he is already framing the substance of his campaign, and he's going to capture the high ground, and perhaps to the exclusion of other Republican candidates. He's going to be the first one to stand up and say, I am against all these damn drones flying around this country, and I am particularly against the government being able to kill people with the damn drones in this country. He's seized that high ground right now, and anyone else, they can kind of follow along and they can play second fiddle. But for the moment, Rand Paul has made a, you know, a significant and perhaps heroic step. And we'll see how it unfolds. We'll see if he's moved a little further than taken a bigger step than he can afford.
Plus, it's going to be interesting because it's going to put other politicians.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be forming their statements. Because they want to be reelected. So you're going to see, though, it'll be interesting to see how this all does play out, and you'll be able to see what road these other politicians take.
Well, Rand Paul is betting that by 2016, everybody's going to be screaming about these drones. He's betting that this is going to work against Obama. Now, other people are kind of sitting back, well, maybe yes, maybe no. They're waiting, but while they wait, Rand Paul has seized the high ground on this, and we'll see. There's one other way you could interpret this also. And I don't think this was motivated Rand Paul to take this stand right now. But depending on how Obama handles this, this could not only be Rand Paul announcing his candidacy for 2016. It could also be Rand Paul announcing that President Obama is a lame duck. Now, most people historically, you don't really become viewed as a lame duck when you're in the White House until probably the last 2 years of your administration. All right, you can't run for re-office. He's run for re-election. He's already been elected twice. He can't run a third time. Generally speaking, they don't reduce you to the status of a lame duck until the last 2 years of your second term in office. But it's happened sooner in some instances, and it's not impossible that depending on what Obama does with this issue, if he doesn't handle this very astutely, Obama could find himself in the lame duck camp before he's even a few months into his second term of office. Now, I'm not going to bet that's going to happen, but it's possible. I don't know. Do you follow what I'm saying here, Melody? He might just, if he does a bad job on this, people may just finally say, oh, get him out of here. They're not even going to pay any more attention to him anymore. It's not impossible. I'm not betting it would happen, but it's not impossible.
Well, perhaps it'll also bring out and show people exactly what type of person is in there right now, too. So,
well, it also shows
brings
people.
A lot.
It also shows people that a lot of conspiracy theories can't just be dismissed as the idea of so many wackos. When a United States senator says the president needs to declare that he's not going to kill anybody on kill American citizens on American soil, that sounds on the face of it. You first look at it and say, oh my gosh, this is just some conspiracy theory. And then you say, oh no, it's not. This is Senator Rand Paul. This is a legitimate concern. This country has moved so far in an odious direction that we are now concerned. Senators of the United States are now concerned that the President of the United States may have an agenda where maybe he's contemplating sometimes assassinating people in this country. Bad enough that he does it overseas. So, all by itself, it indicates that this country has moved in a difficult, dangerous, and untenable direction. Rand Paul's stand at this time indicates that. And we'll see. You know, now we'll see.
Well, let's hope some of those other GOPers will come up with some... See if more than just a handful stand behind them and make their commitments. But we also had yesterday, it was announced that Chavez,
yep.
Venezuela, Hugo
Chavez, huh?
Passed on yesterday. And
relatively young man. He was in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's gone now. What can I say? Somebody just tried to call me. But in any case, he's gone. We'll see changes in Venezuela. Chavez was certainly a leftist, a collectivist, socialist, communist, put whatever label you wanted on that. We will see. Do you think that will continue in Venezuela? Will the people of Venezuela continue on a leftist course? Or do you think that maybe with Chavez passing, are we going to see Venezuela, who knows, maybe make nice with the United States? What do you think?
Well, you know what? It's interesting because I believe it was he had called Bush the UN El Diablo.
Yeah, when he stood up to, when he stood up to speak, he followed Bush and he said, "Do you smell sulfur? Do you smell sulfur in here?" And he said, "It must have been El Diablo. Must have been here just now."
So, you know, he did what he had to do for his country. You can tag him how you want, but he did what he had to do for his people. And and it's even come out that they think he was poisoned.
I understand that.
So,
I mean, it's one of those things where you wonder, and that was part of the reason why I say he's a relatively young man. What got him? It wasn't a drone, but it doesn't mean that he wasn't taken out. What else is Chavez... in his legacy, what might he be deemed, I don't know, regarded famous for before this is all over? You have an idea?
Don't ask me those questions that you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know where you're going.
I was talking to Frank, the producer. Frank, do you have an idea? No, Frank doesn't. He has an idea that we're going to take some commercial announcement. I will answer the rhetorical question when we return. I'm Alfred Addis. Here with Melody Cedars-Tremont Financial. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on financial survival.
Gold.
Yes.
Gold.
This is where we talk about gold.
No.
And that's
Chavez.
When I was Now, do you want to do a? Are we going to talk about a special right now, Melody, or are we going to talk about?
Talk about Shabbos and the question you asked me. Gold.
Yeah, I understand. You're going to have to be more specific. What did Shabbos do? The question I was posing to Melody, I knew she knew the answer, but she just wasn't thinking of it right then. The question is, what did Chavez do that he may ultimately be remembered for, that he made a significant, he had a significant action that he took a couple of years ago? And what was it, Melody?
He wanted his gold.
Yes, from the United States. He said, I don't trust the United States to keep my gold. He repatriated his gold, and people said he's crazy. And then Germany followed suit, and a couple other nations are talking about it. He got that ball bouncing, all right? He may be right, he may be wrong, but he did that. And from a historical perspective, that may be, at least in the United States, one of the things he will be most remembered for. I'm going to sit back and say, that SOB, he essentially challenged the government, said, give me my gold. And he got it. Now we'll see how many more get it. Huh?
So, interesting. Very, very interesting. But it'll be interesting to see how that is molded, how that country is molded. It'll be interesting to see the political connections that are made. You know, what countries go in there to position themselves. And it'll be interesting to see what take the U.S. government takes now.
The U.S. government's take will be, would you like to, now that Chavez is gone, would you like to bring your gold back? We'll keep it for you. You know, maybe they'll be able to talk the next Argentinian leader, or excuse me, Venezuelan leader, say, oh, what the heck, let's send the gold back. We can trust Uncle Sam, you know.
Yeah, and that is true. He shut down. He was involved in the gold mining, too. He nationalized a lot of the mines, and he shut down foreign mining. So
you know, it's not. I'm not here to praise Hugo Chavez. Right?
No.
I just the man. You know, he did what he thought was presumably did what he thought was right. And some people will agree, some will disagree. I'm not a collectivist. I'm not a socialist, communist, whatever. I am absolutely contrary to that. I don't favor any of that. But
sometimes,
like,
you know, you get in these countries. I mean, look at Saddam Hussein. You know, he ruled his country. A lot of people weren't in favor of how he did it, but at least he kept the peace to the best of his ability. And again, the country was friendly to Christians. And you've seen these countries that are in turmoil. Egypt, they used to be friendly to Christians. Syria, you know, now Christians are having to flee. And so, you know, these rulers, even though we might not agree with their political
policies.
Thank you. But, you know, it's said to be, you know, it's something to be said. They kept peace in their country.
Yeah, I understand. And
to
it's
some
a tough,
degree.
It's a tough situation because they kept it by despotic powers. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a society that is peaceful because if you step out of line, somebody's going to split your head wide open,
but
and they're not going to be held accountable for it.
But what we used to talk about is so tribal in those areas. That's what it takes. That's what it takes.
Well, it does. Well, I agree. It takes that if you are going to maintain a coherent nation. But sometimes you put these nations together and they are so dissimilar. They have tribal areas. They have tribes. In this country, we have races and cultures and one thing another. Under certain circumstances, the diversity can be so great that it tends to split the country up. And then you have people that are saying, no, you can't leave. It's the equivalent, it's similar to the Civil War in this country, where the South said, we're seceding, and the North said, the heck you are. Huh? You're staying here. Now, it results in violence when significant groups of people are not free to come and go as they see fit. The result is frequently going to be some sort of violence. Somebody's going to say, I'm leaving, and the other, oh, no, you're not. And the result is somebody's going to get shot. So insofar as government has a monopoly on the guns, they're more likely to shoot the public than the public is to shoot the government. But it has to do with maintaining the illusion of a nation, the illusion of a society, where you say, oh, we're all working together. Nah, maybe we're not. Maybe we're not. Sometimes you are, sometimes not. They're having that problem in some of the Egyptian, Egypt, again, that's, you know, they're dead in the water. They're going to have nothing but trouble. And Syria's going to follow. Libya's certainly already there. Middle East is fragmented, exploding. People are going to suffer and die, and what do you do about it? Just let them go? I'm not advocating that we should, you know, pick up the American burden and support them, but it is, these are bleak times, and we can sit back and say, hooray, it's too bad for them, but at least we'll do okay in this country. And let's hope that's true. But, you know, the times are so challenging, it's hard to say who's going to start shooting and who's going to start obeying and who's going to start rising up. Hard to say where this is going to run. So here we are, interesting times. What else have we got, Melody?
We have a question in, and this is from Richard. I believe everyone knows the collapse is coming. He thinks that a junior college freshman could see this a mile away. I think you're giving a junior college freshman too much credit there. The bonds and mortgages are junk because nobody wants them, so forget the nonsense of a AA rating. They're junk. They will never load. They'll never be able to load them off. Did you notice the sequester effects have caused labor layoffs to all those who could least afford it? They voted for change, and they got it.
Yeah.
Your Democratic government didn't take a pay cut. Heck with the people that they're supposedly so concerned about. He says the Democratic Party are hypocrites. The country, he believes, will not may, collapse because we have useless, moronic government that destroys everything they touch.
Well, they've been useless, moronic, or at least operating contrary to the best interest of the American people for, I don't know, I'd say you can trace it back at least 40 years, and some people would argue a lot longer than that, but it's becoming obvious, undeniable. Is there anybody in government who's working to do what's best for the American people? They're few and far between. The administration is not dedicated to that. There was more to the question, though. Why don't you repeat that question to me again?
The whole thing?
As much
the
as...
Bonds and mortgages are junk. Yeah. Nobody wants them. Nonsense of a AA rating. So the sequester effects has caused labor layoffs.
Now, that's a good point. He's making a good point. Change you can believe in. The change is going to be sequestering that's going to primarily affect who? It will ultimately affect more than anything else the poor, the elderly, particularly the poor. We'll watch and see, but not the rich. And this message will be understood by those people who supported Obama, those people in the Democrat Party, those people that are liberals, those people who stood up and say, hooray, hooray for Obama. They're going to get the message, and we talked a little earlier, how soon does Obama become a lame duck? Well, it may happen if and when a significant portion of the Democratic Party just says, that's it, I've had as much from that guy as I can stand. I mean, we already know the Republicans, at least in theory, can't stand Obama. How long before mainstream Democrats reach a similar position? And I did the same thing relative to Bush. George G.W., when he was elected, I thought, hooray, yay, I was an idiot. And I came to despise that man. But I thought he was pretty good when he came in, and I came to realize now, not so. So now it's the Democrats' turn. Now they're going to get a dose of the same thing I thought about G.W. They're going to get it about B.H., Barack Hussein. So. What else? Anything else we need to touch on that question, Melody?
You didn't say B.O. No, it's I mean, the one thing really is it's Democrats, Republicans, they're pretty much all the same. You'll have a handful that's working in Washington truly for the people, just a handful. They all have their own agendas. They all have their, you know, there's so much lobbying going on. So it's, and you're going to start seeing a trend, too. I believe you're going to start seeing in mainstream media, you're going to see a lot of talk about seniors and their benefits. I think they're going to tag, and they're not going to talk about disability. They're not going to talk about those types, but they're going to talk about the seniors' retirement plans. They're going to talk about Social Security and Medicaid, and why should these people get this? You know, they made enough money on their own, and, you know, the younger people need it more. It needs to go to schools. It needs to go to education. It needs to go to other areas. Those old people don't need it. And, again, I think it's, again, a conditioning, really, of everyone to you get to the Obamacare and you get back to the rationing of health care because, you know, the old people are taking
too much.
Got
to get out of the way.
Got to get out of the way.
Yeah, we owe money to the old folk, of which I am one, and we don't want to pay that money. So wouldn't it be convenient if a lot of you old people just die? And then the government doesn't have to pay that big Medicare debt and Medicaid debt and Social Security debt. So it'd be good to have the old people kind of out of the way. And how do we break the news to the old people in a way that they can understand? You know, it parallels. You mentioned the politicians, only a handful are truly working for the best interests of the American people. Why are so few politicians working for the best interests of the American people? And the answer, in my opinion, is that there's no way of doing what's right now without causing significant harm to the American people. There's no way you're going to convince these people, look, we have to go off the fiat currency. We've got to go back to a gold or silver-based currency. And as soon as you do that, we're going to be unable to support the welfare class. We're going to be unable to provide fat pensions for government employees. We're going to be unable to pay federal employees double what they're worth in the private sector. They can't do the right thing because we are so deep in the wrong thing. There is no painless way out, and the American people will riot if anybody tries to deprive them of their right to a free lunch. How are we going to do the right thing, Melody?
I think when it comes to senior citizens, I think there's you're going to have to divide it up in groups. I think there's a group that, yeah, that they will be very, you know, they will react. You will have social unrest. Senior citizens, I think they're going to be brought over to the right side is through their grandchildren, through the children. I mean, how often on a daily basis do you hear, oh, the kids, our grandkids, and this, you know, they're going to have a terrible time. Well, you know what? It's called life, number one. But, hey, when it comes to children, we see how they're used. We see the crisis that we saw in Connecticut, how that tragedy was used. And I think children maybe to some degree will be, whether it be for education, it'll be some in an indirect way that perhaps folks will be willing to just say, okay, it is what it is.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't exactly. I'm not sure what you mean by it is what it is. You mean they're just going to accept government as it is? They're going to accept that the
sure.
a cut in services from government? That's
absolutely.
Well, a lot of people will, but I guarantee it doesn't take a lot of people who won't to all of a sudden you see part of the city bursting into flame. How will austerity work out in this country? Will it work out any better than it's worked in Greece? Will there be fewer riots on a per capita basis here than there were in Greece, or will there perhaps be more? No one has an answer to that question, but you know, we are just...
Was it senior citizens that are going to be out there
No, it won't be senior citizens. I won't expect that. They'll only threaten to vote.
Yeah.
But there'll be other people. There will be people in the welfare community. They're going to be ready to riot, take to the streets, burn buildings down, and the rest of it. I don't know that that's true, but I know that it's possible. It's plausible. No one knows what's going to happen. But on one level, what are poor people going to do? And it's not just a question of being welfare recipients. We live in a country that sent our jobs overseas. If you can't get a job, how do you survive? We'll talk more about this in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival. Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We have a caller, Jay from Florida. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Melody. How are you today?
Just fine, thank you. How are you listening to the program?
Right now I'm over the internet, AVR, over the internet.
Oh, fantastic. You have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. I heard you talking about Rand Paul earlier today. What is he doing? He's filibustering the nomination today? Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
That is.
He's filibustering, filibustering someone's, Brennan's nomination. Is that correct, Melody?
To the CIA, yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, don't you think it would be fitting if they sent in a drone strike after one of those little mini bird drones fly right into the Capitol building, buzz around? And
well, that would answer right the question. That would answer the question. If Rand gets hit by a drone right there on the within the Congress, that would answer his question as whether Obama says he can or cannot assassinate Americans within the United States.
Right, that would be perfect. That way he could settle the issue once and for all. You don't have to guess anymore. Just put an end to the whole thing. Now you really know who's boss.
Yep, and I don't think too many people would be asking that question anymore either. At least not unless they could.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the end. We've answered that question, and we're not going to, no more filibusters, no more questions. We get it. What else
you got, Jay?
Well, either that or maybe they could do a Chavez on him when he goes home, give him a little cancer pill, something like that, you know? But it would be much, much more fitting if they gave him the old drone strike.
Yeah, it might be. It might be more humane. That might be part of Obama's reaction to this. He may come back and say, listen, it's a lot more humane to just bomb these people out of the sky. They never see it coming and bang, they're gone, than it is to give them a cancer pill. All right?
Right.
So who knows? Maybe the drones are a humane solution.
I'd pay to see it, I'll tell you that.
Well, we're going to all pay one way or another before this is done, Jay. We might not pay for what we want to pay for, but we're all going to pay. I'll bet you that. Well, thank you for your call.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jay. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. What else we got, Melody?
Humor's good. It's amazing. People are just cheering Bernanke and thanking him for the big bull market. I mean, it's unbelievable, but that's another day. That's another day. I remember the last time they cheered like this. It went from 14 to 6, so 14,000 to 6,000 on the Dow. So anyway, moving right along, Alfred.
Yes. What's next?
What do you want to talk about, Al, today?
I don't know. I talk about Cowboys.
Cowboys?
And
Indians?
Make it to the Super Bowl? No. Think they'll ever make it to the Super Bowl again? Not while Jerry Jones is coach. That would be one guess. That would be one opinion. But probably not appropriate for this program. What else should we talk about that's appropriate for this program, Melody? We got an email here that... it answers the question, is even an imaginary or an exaggerated crisis really a terrible thing to waste? All right. We've all heard Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton. They were both quoted probably 18 months, 2 years ago now. I'm not sure. They're saying a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And what they meant by that is whenever there was a crisis, government would jump in and exploit that crisis. Huh? And this is wrong. This is cynical. This is, you know, if you think maybe I'm getting a little cynical, this is terrible. The business of government, when we have a crisis, you solve the crisis. You don't figure out how you can make the most personal profit or personal advantage off that crisis. That's what government should be doing. And yet, when we heard from Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste, it was evidence of a mindset that the people in Washington that are supposed to represent you and me and Melody, those people aren't interested in doing what's right for us. They're interested in trying to, what's the angle? How can we make the most? How can we take this problem and make the most for ourselves? And it's consistent with this report from the Washington Times. The headline is, email tells feds to make sequester as painful as promised. And the article says, the White House announced Tuesday that it's canceling tours of the president's home, presumably the White House, for the foreseeable future as the sequester spending cuts begin to bite. And the administration makes good on its warning of painful decisions. I mean, I'm really in shock. I won't be able to go visit the White House. I'm hurt. Announcement of the decision made with an email from the White House visitor's office came hours after the Washington Times reported on another administration email that seemed to show at least one agency has been instructed to make sure the cuts are as painful as President Obama promised they would be. In an internal email, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service official Charles Brown said he asked if he could try to spread out the sequester cuts in his region to minimize the impact. And he said he was told not to do anything that would lessen the dire impact Congress had been warned of. Now, what we're talking about, we got one bureaucrat up there and say, look, can I spread out the effects of sequester over time so we minimize the impact? And someone, presumably on Obama's instructions, but someone above his head responded, nope, nope, make this sequestration as painful as possible for all the dolts out there in TV land. Because if it's really, really painful, then we may be able to build a fire under Congress and get them to cancel the sequestration and allow government to spend more money. Again, this is just, they're just playing us. That's all. They're going to say, oh my gosh, the sequester caused pain. What causes the pain is the government, the Obama administration. Insofar as this article in the Washington Times is true, it implies that Obama says, I'm going to make this sequestration hurt so bad that you people out there in TV land are going to say, oh, please, please, please end the sequestration. This is another one of these illustrations that our government is not there to resolve emergencies. They're there to exploit them. He's got an artificial problem. He's got, oh my gosh, government had to cut spending by 3%, as if the world was coming to an end. The truth of the matter is they could pull that 3% out of the Defense Department if someone was absolutely determined to prevent government from buying $500 toilet seats and $100 screwdrivers. That's an old story. That's not current, I understand. But there is so much waste in government. How much could we save if we eliminated the waste from government? How much could we save if someone made it their business to see that they weren't wasting any money in government? A lot more than 3%, I'll bet you that. And here the government says, oh my gosh, we've got to cut spending by 3% and the world's going to come to an end. And they want to create evidence of the pain. They're trying to inflict pain. They're not trying to do what's right. They're trying to gain more power, more control. And they do it essentially based on inflicting pain, knowingly inflicting pain on the American people. I don't know that it's ever been any different. I don't know that any other administration has ever been necessarily, if you knew the truth, how many more have been more honest, ethical than the Obama administration? Maybe they're all that way, but Obama just seems to just laugh in your face. Again, what galls me sometimes is they don't have enough respect for you and me to even make credible lies. They don't even show any shame. They just sit up there and grin. Say, yeah, we're going to make it hurt. How'd you like that, America? Come on, you better do it our way, or we will inflict even more pain upon you. It's the sort of thing you look at, and it does not inspire confidence. It inspires a certain amount of anger, resignation, disappointment, you know. And how are we going to resolve this? How is this going to be stopped? I mean, how is it that anyone in Washington doesn't have brains enough that you can't even tell people don't do the right thing because it would minimize the impact of sequestration? Don't do what's right for the American people. Put it to them. Good and hard. Give it to them. It's a world we live in. It's not the world I was raised to believe in, but it does appear to be the world that we live in, and, you know, you got to make the best of it as best you can. So what are we going to do, Melody?
Do you think they're also using these ploys as to look into the future for election? Or are they already setting themselves to try to get the Democrats in there come 2 years?
Well, they're all...
Is this part of it?
This is part what this is, the way I read it, is it's just a matter of trying to goad Congress into ending the sequestration, which is a reduction by 3% of the annual budget that Washington wanted to spend. I don't remember how many trillions, and they had to cut out 3%. They had to reduce their spending by 3% this year. All right? They don't want to. and they want to goad Congress. They want to put people under, they're going to put the American people into pain if they can. So the American people threaten the Congress, and then the Congress comes back and says, oh, we'll end sequestration and let the government spend even more money. And the whole idea behind sequestration is, one, we're going to try to reduce the total debt, which is good. Two, we're going to try to behave in a responsible way for the benefit of the American people, which is good. But there's a problem. You know, we have an economic, we are in an economic bind at the moment. And we are caught, congressmen's caught, between the possibility of doing the right thing and the certainty that if you do the right thing right now, you're going to tell people, look, we can't spend this much money. We're going to have to tighten our belts. There's no more free lunch for a lot of you people. And we don't have anyone in Congress who wants to take that risk, in part because they're afraid that the American people are so ignorant and self-serving that the American people, they're not going to put up with any problems. They don't have to. They're wondering, you know, how far can they push us? How much can they squeeze out of us before we riot like Greeks or Spaniards? You know, if you look on the internet, there were demonstrations in Spain over the last year. And you hear about them in the American news press, but you heard a little about them. But you can go up on Google and you enter something like Spanish demonstrations, demonstrations in Spain, whatever, and click images. And you will see streets that are filled with hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, these aren't demonstrations where a dozen people are standing out in front of a courthouse and they've all got a sign and a picket. These are demonstrations that are massive. And I'm sure in our country, our government is wondering, how far can they push the American people before we get the same thing? Problem they've got is they've done bad things. They did a bad thing when they got rid of our gold and got rid of our currency. They moved us into a pure fiat currency, and it seemed like a great thing at the time. It may have seemed like a great thing at the time. I won't even say that it did seem, but it may have. It gave the government a lot of leverage. In theory, they could use the illusion of paper dollars to stimulate the economy and create wealth that didn't exist. They were literally spinning dollars out of thin air. Seems like a wonderful thing, but inevitably, it has to come to an end because it's a lie. And now we're at the point where the lie is going to be recognized, and that fiat currency and the consequences of it, the economic consequences of the fiat currency are going to be felt by everyone, and everybody's going to scream. And government doesn't want to hear those screams. So what's government going to do? If they do the right thing, everyone's going to scream. If they continue to do the wrong thing, everyone will scream, although they'll scream a little later. So I scream, you scream, we all scream for government. I got 30 seconds. Melody, something you'd like to add?
Nope, but folks can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Take advantage of these low prices, folks, because one day we're going to wake up to a brand new world, a different world, I should say, and gold prices will be a lot higher. Take advantage of them today. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. All products seems to be available. Silver products, 90% silver eagle, silver maple leaves, anything that you might need. Morgan silver dollars, diversify a little bit. Gold, doesn't seem to be any shortages in any of the gold products at this point in time. And folks, you know, there's another reason why gold is down is because buying is off. And not here, but industry-wide and across the country, premiums are beginning to come down on the 90% silver because that's beginning to flow a little bit more. And so demand hasn't not been as strong for the 90%. But take advantage of that and get in at these lower prices. And give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
See you, folks. We'll be back manana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. seems to be a single penny left for me.